Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jet fans at this point right now are saying, I hate myself for loving you. Right? It's basically what it is. And you can follow my man Dan Leberfeld on Twitter at Jet Whispers. And, of course, the website is JetsConfidential.com. Oh yeah, here we go, a little Jet, a little Joan Jett, and here's the Jet fans. Exactly. Dan, would you say that this is a good theme song for Jet fans?
Not a bad song at this time, and I want to add that I used to live in Long Beach on Long Island, and I saw Joan Jett in the CVS there once.
Nice, really? How long ago was this?
Long Beach.
How long ago was it?
10 years ago. About 10 years ago.
Okay. She looked good still?
Well, she looks like she looks. You know, that jet black hair and the, you know, punk rock type look and still going strong.
Yeah, she is actually. I've seen her a few times over the years. I saw her back in her heyday. I still remember when she came out, you know, with I Love Rock and Roll, and she came out with that video. I was like, who's that, dude? And then I picked up on the whole Runaways thing. Oh, that's Joan Jett. But she looked good in those days, man. She was definitely a hottie. There's no doubt about that. Now, the team you're covering, not very hot right now.
No, not hot. When you look at them, everybody thought, or most people thought, the problem was going to be the quarterback position entering the season, but that has not been the issue. Josh McCown has been pretty good, serviceable. The problems are in other areas right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think some of the problems started in the offseason, my friend, when they started trading off and getting or cutting out good players and things like that. I think that hurt them when they started trading or cutting players from that roster that were pretty much the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah, that was something that hurt them. But also, they didn't have a very good run defense last year, and that's continued to this year. And one of the problems is, Darren Lee, the second-year linebacker of Ohio State, good player, but not a great fit for their 3-4 defense. As you know, Big O and a lot of people in the audience, 3-4 inside linebackers have to do a lot of stacking and shedding of offensive linemen, and the guy's like 230 pounds. He doesn't have a lot of body armor. So if you look back to the first couple of games, especially Oakland, some of the big runs, this poor kid was pancaked opening up a big hole. So run defense is a big problem. So facing Jay Ajayi this week is not exactly what the doctor ordered for the Jets.
Yeah, I remember the guys in around the league telling me that what they liked about Darren Lee coming out was his pass rushing skills, not his run stuffing skills, right? That's kind of what was the MO.
Right, and the thing is, if Darren Lee was on the Carolina Panthers or the Dallas Cowboys or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, that type of linebacker where you run sideline to sideline and you flow and you make a ton of plays, he'd be very good.
Playing on the outside. Playing on the outside.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that's right. Also, yeah, playing on the outside and running around and rushing the passes some, as you said. But in this defense, the guy is just getting a Velcro to offensive guards and centers pulling to the next level.
Does Todd Bowles survive this? Because that usually doesn't happen when the guy has to – first he signs with the team that was supposed to be competitive and maybe even, you know, challenging for a playoff spot. Like they had, you know, 10 wins a few years back. But then all of a sudden now they're putting you through a rebuilding mode. Man, that's usually a recipe for failure. And I don't know how usually coaches survive that. They usually don't. Does Todd Bowles survive this over the next couple of years?
It's interesting you bring that up because I asked the new owner, Christopher Johnson, who takes over for his brother, who was named ambassador to the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland. So Christopher Johnson picks over, and we met with him for the first time, the beat reporters, the other day. And I asked him, why did you guys decide to start the rebuild in year three of GM Mike Maccagnan and Coach Todd Bowles and not do it from the get-go? And he said, that's a good question. But then he brought up the fact they did okay that first year. They went 10-6. But the point is, it is very strange to have a new regime start a rebuild in year three, and that's essentially what's happening here. The way Todd Bowles survives, and the owner brought this up over and over, and the old owner, Woody Johnson, brought this up, improvement throughout the year with a lot of young players. You know, not making the same mistakes over and over again, getting better as the season goes on, you know, seeing players move up the growth curve. So if they continue to play run defense the way they're playing in week one and week two, they're last in the league in run defense. That sort of thing would certainly hurt Todd's job security. So the owner's not looking for the team to go 12-4. It's just looking for them to play smart, consistent football and improve as the season goes on.
And if I'm correct, that's the same press conference that you guys asked about the tanking, and they sidestepped it. They danced around it.
Yeah, the tanking was asked, and the new owner, Christopher Johnson, categorically shot that down, saying they're not tanking. But he did say that the head coach and the GM will not be judged by wins and losses at the end of the year. So those are kind of conflicting philosophies. If wins and losses aren't the bottom line, but you're not tanking, what exactly are you doing?
Right. No, I'm with you. But again, I mean, do you blame them? Really, when you look at it, Dan, where they're at, you're not really challenging for anything. You don't have a quarterback. We all know how much you need a damn quarterback in this league. Hell, we know it in Miami since Marino retired, how much you need a damn quarterback in this league. And you've got all these young quarterbacks coming out in the next year or two. This might be the time to start rebuilding and winning only a game or two and putting yourself in position to get a top five pick.
Well, I think that'll be clear. The thing with McCown is he's looked pretty good. He had two gorgeous touchdown passes last week to Jermaine Kearse in the loss to Oakland. The guy can still play, but he makes $125,000 bonus each start. So when you see them at some point, say they're 1-5 or 1-6 or something like that, and they turn to one of the young guys, to me they're clearly tanking there, because if you saw these young guys play in the preseason, you know they're not going to win a lot of games with them. Christian Hackenberg had 9 3-and-outs in the fourth preseason game. Do you know how hard that is to do, Big O? The fourth preseason game against the backups, against the third stringers, playing vanilla defense, and you have 9 3-and-outs, that's a very bad sign. And Bryce Petty was a little better, but not much.
Yeah, no, and those two guys have just not shown you anything that you can build on those two guys. Dan Leberfeld, by the way, is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Jet Whispers. And of course, you got to get the website, which is jetsconfidential.com, and sign up there so you can get the latest on the Jets there. Dan, I mean, I would be extremely disappointed in the Dolphins if they lose this game. I don't think they will. You know, if this was the Cam Cameron era or Sperano or Philbin or something, I would give the Jets, you know, some kind of a chance here, because it is a rivalry and all that good stuff that we always – all those cliches that we use. But I think Adam Gase is a pretty damn good coach, and I think he's going to have these guys focused. But – if there was a way that the Jets could win this game, and you're the guy that covers them every day, and you've talked about all the warts that they have right now, how the hell could they win this game?
Well, they've got to improve their pass rush. They're just not getting a lot of hits on the quarterback. So if they have a big game rushing the passer, that would help. Like I said, McCown isn't the big problem. I think he'll have a solid game. That doesn't mean they'll win, but I think he'll do a decent job. The problem for the Jets is, and I mentioned Darren Lee, also two guys in the secondary are really, really struggling. When you talk about Justin Burris, a second-year corner out of North Carolina State, to me is a safety. He's got limited short area quickness, so receivers are cutting away from him very much when you watch them play. And also, he doesn't have great long speed, so if the Miami Dolphins get a speedster on him, they could beat him deep. And Buster Screen, I'm surprised he's still with the team. He's been wildly inconsistent. His first 2 years and his first two games of this season, the inconsistency continues. So if I'm Adam Gase, who's a great offensive mind, you run the ball at Darren Lee consistently, and you pick on Justin Burris, and you pick on Buster Screen. And you know what a good play caller Adam Gase is. He's going to dial up all kinds of plays, that it exploit these weaknesses, which are clear on tape, they're clear as day. So if the to me, the Jets need to make some lineup changes. Actually, the guy behind Darren Lee is better than him, in my opinion, from training camp, Julian Stafford. But you know how that works, Big O, the politics, the PR, not wanting to admit you're wrong, so they roll with first-round picks forever. I don't think Gase is that way. I was always impressed with Gase when he cut two offensive linemen after one game. So Gase isn't that way. Belichick's not that way. But most of the other teams, they'll just keep rolling with first-round picks beyond the point of their effectiveness.
Oh, we had that here. What's it called? Spielman and Ireland would try to justify their picks by playing them and forcing the issue. And the good coaches, man, they don't care who you are, where you come from, where you were drafted, what kind of free agent signing you are. They just want to win. And that's the difference between the good coaches and the guys that try to save their jobs. The good coaches, they're comfortable. So hey, that was my third round pick, but this three free agents outperforming him, I need to win games. I'm playing this three free agent. I'm not playing the politics. And that's what happens in this league. And it's happened a lot to us down here in Miami with some of the guys we've had in the past.
That I couldn't agree with you more on that. It drives me crazy covering these teams. Like I said, Julian Stafford was much better this summer than Darren Lee, but I wrote over and over again, it doesn't matter what he's doing. He's not beating out Darren Lee. I know how they roll around here. And in the case of Buster Screen, I don't know what he's still doing on the team. I think it's probably related to the big cap hit from this year.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Justin Burris is a guy that should be replaced by Marcus Williams, who has had a number of interceptions in the league. But you know, I asked Todd Bowles about lineup changes on defense the other day, and he said, I have my starters, which is an answer I don't understand because the Patriots benched two players last week, Alan Branch at defensive tackle and one of their cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it. Like, what do you mean you have your lineup? There's something called lineup changes.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we got the kid Godchild that they got from Clemson. He's a fifth rounder. He's outplayed Jordan Phillips, the second rounder from a couple years ago, and Godchild's getting more playing time. Hey, I got to let you go, but before I do, Muhammad Wilkerson, what's the latest? Because that's a huge loss if they don't have him on the D-line, and that's obviously a plus for Jay Ajayi. He'll be smiling if he's not playing.
Right, and also Leonard Williams has a bad wrist, so he's iffy too. Their two best defensive linemen are iffy. Muhammad Wilkerson said he's going to be fine. I don't know if that was just players speaking in the locker room, but he said it pretty abruptly. It's going to be okay. So I can just go by what he said.
All right. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Jets Whispers. And, of course, you can also check out JetsConfidential.com. Dan Leberfeld, as always, kind enough to join us. Dan, enjoy the game, my friend. You are the best.
Thank you, Big O, and continue loving your classic rock.
Thank you, my man. You know it, as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.